The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths Let us begin with an excellence of reciting Salat ala al-Nabi Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala narrates that once he was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam outside of Makkah. And he says, whatever tree and mountain that we passed by, subhanallah, we would hear a voice from those trees, those mountains. What were those voices saying? As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. We learn from this narration, dear viewers, that even inanimate objects, lifeless objects, they recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They send salat and salam upon him. So as human beings, it is a greater right upon us to remember the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam and send salat and salam upon him. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq to do so. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Dear viewers, inshallah, in this episode, we'll be speaking briefly about the sacrifices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba in the early period of Islam. We've already discussed in an episode the Hijrah, the migration towards Habsha. And this episode, inshallah, we will discuss the Hijrah, the migration towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara and the command to do so. And even prior to this migration, truth be told, there were numerous sacrifices of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the difficulties faced in this particular migration, if we were to do a separate episode for each person, each Sahabi and what he had to face, we could record countless episodes. That's how many difficulties each Sahabi faced. But they reached Madinatul Munawwara. This was their love for Islam, love for the deen, love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that despite everything that took place, they made it to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam gave the command to migrate, you will not find anyone from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in who came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, if we are to leave Makkah in all cases, then why don't we just go to this place or that place? It's not that far. Why Madina al-Munawwara? You will never find any narration in this regard. The Sahaba didn't complain like that. They knew the level of this sacrifice, how great a sacrifice that is required. None of them said, how come we have to leave from Makkah and travel a distance of hundreds of miles? Why can't we go to somewhere which is only 50 miles away or max 100 miles away? They never thought like that. No one said, oh, we have family here, we've got wealth here, properties here, we've lived all our lives in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, how can we make such a sacrifice? It's not within our power, it's not easy for us to do this. They didn't say that. Instead, they showed practically that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever you tell us, wherever you tell us to go, whether it's Madinah al-Munawwara or anywhere else, we're ready. Because we know the cause is the religion of Islam and to preserve and protect Islam and to make it prominent. So they accepted, they wholeheartedly accepted, they submitted to this commander of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, we know he's a Sahabi, the son of a Sahabi, he's the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhumah. When he migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, whenever he would return to Makkah now from Medina, whenever he had the opportunity to return afterwards, it states that when he would pass by his own house in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he would close his eyes. And the reason why he would close his eyes is in his mind, he would think This is that house that I left because of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can't even look at this house. I don't even want to look at this house. Allahu Akbar. But if I've left the house because of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, why do I need to look at it? I don't care about it. Allahu Akbar. This is true love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So thereafter, he had no interest in that house. Who lives there now? What sort of people are they? All of this is irrelevant. I've left the house, got nothing to do with it now. And like this, many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajmain, we know about them as well, that they left Makkah al-Mukarramah and they left everything for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were many of them who were in financial difficulty. They had financial constraints. They were going through enough as it was. But for the sake of the Prophet alayhi sallam, they continued. And they knew that this hijrah will probably lead to more difficulties for them. So when Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states that from the Sahaba, the last person to migrate, his name was Abu Ahmad Abd bin Jahash. Think for a moment. Abd bin Jahash. This person is blind. This is what has been recorded. Now, although he could not see, lost the faculty of sight, but yet his love for the Prophet ﷺ was matchless. When he was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, his wife Rifa'a, she said, why are you going so far? If you are to leave Makkah, and this is your maqsood, this is the purpose behind you leaving, then go to a nearby village, a nearby city, somewhere near. But what did he say? He said, I am going to my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That's the maqsood. I'm visiting the Prophet alayhi salam. I'm going to live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is why upon leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, I will only go to where my beloved is. Nowhere else. Allahu Akbar. So it's as if he's saying to her, you can say what you like, but this won't deter me. I will only listen to what the beloved has said. Now, Sayyidina Abd bin Jahash, he left with his family and he traveled to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. His in-laws, they sold the house that he would reside in, would live in. And some people passed by that house. And amongst them was Abu Jahl, Utbah bin Rabi'ah, Shayba, and others as well. When they passed by that house that belonged to this Sahabi, the final person to migrate from Al-Madinatul Munawwara, they saw that animal skins were laid out there. Animal skins were found there. And salt was obviously rubbed upon them. In those days, this is what they would do to preserve the animal hides, the skins. They would rub salt on them. When they saw this, that this house was populated before, this house was vibrant before, people resided in this house. It was lively, vibrant. And now when they saw it, that it's empty, silence. All they see is various animal hides and there is stench everywhere. Utbah, when he saw this, even though he's an enemy of the Prophet ﷺ, he's a disbeliever, but that reality can come, become manifest to anyone. When he saw this, and he was amongst those who placed obstacle in the paths of those who migrated to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, when he saw this, he began to cry. House which is empty now. And he said that just a few days ago, this house was populated. But now, the house is completely empty. No one remains from it. The stench coming from this house. Utbah was a sha'ir, he was a poet. He said, one day every house will become like this. Doesn't matter how long that house remains sound. The construction of that house remains firm. It doesn't matter. One day, it will be empty. Everything will perish. And these words were on his tongue. That yesterday this house was populated. Today, look at the state of it. That nobody is paying attention to it. No one even looking towards it. Now, if you ponder upon our state today, I want this and I want that. We try our utmost to attain things in life. We forget that these things are momentary. They're with us today, tomorrow they'll be with someone else. We have them today, tomorrow will be gone from this world, and those things, nobody will populate them, those houses, mansions. And a prime example of this is those people who live in the West, and they have a link with the subcontinent or anywhere in the world, and they have this desire that I should make a home in my country of birth. They go, they spend thousands of pounds, years it takes sometimes to construct a house of their dreams, and then nobody goes to visit it. They build that house, spacious, grand house. Then they have to pay people themselves to live in that house just to look after it. Children are not interested. Nobody else is going to visit. And these things all are great lessons for us. We should think about these things. But one day we'll be gone from the dunya. Nothing will remain. So why are we so attached to physical things? Now when Abd bin Jahash radiallahu anhu came with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah at the time of the conquest of Makkah, when Makkah was conquered by the Muslims, and he said, when he came back to Makkah, he says, I want my house. The Prophet alayhi salam said to Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, go and speak to Abu Ahmad, meaning Abd bin Jahash. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu spoke to Sayyidina Abd bin Jahash, whispered into his ear. And whatever he said, as soon as he said it, Sayyidina Abd bin Jahash distanced himself from that wish of his. Just moments ago when he was said, I want my house back, when Sayyidina Uthman spoke to him, he said, it's all right. He totally discarded what he was thinking moments earlier. What was that message that was given to Sayyidina Abd bin Jahash? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Abu Ahmad, what are you going to do with this house? In place of this, you will gain a house in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Meaning you've left this worldly house for your mahbub, for your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what have you attained in place of that? You've attained a house in paradise. And obviously, Jannah, first and foremost, is for the salihin, the anbiya alayhi salam, the sahaba ikram. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Each and every one of the Sahaba have been promised paradise. Husna in this verse refers to paradise, as explained by the Mufassirin, the commentators of the Quran. Another Sahabi, Sayyiduna Samura bin Jundub, radiallahu ta'ala, is a Sahabi who was suffering from great weakness. He gathered his children. He said, take me. And his children said, where do you want to go, O father? He said, I want to go to the city of loyalty, Medina. His situation was such that he couldn't even walk without support. This is how much weakness he was suffering from. He couldn't even travel on a ride without somebody supporting him as well. So his children, they made a slave accompany him, and very slowly he was escorted from Makkah al-Mukarramah towards Medina al-Munawwarah. When they reached the area known as Tan'im, where Masjid Aisha is today, people who've been for Umrah, and after performing the first Umrah, if they had performed other Umrahs, they would know that they had to go to Masjid Aisha, which is in Tan'im, and they make the intention of Umrah from there. When they reached Masjid Aisha, the Sahabi Sayyiduna Samura bin Jundub radiallahu anhu passed away. Someone said, what was the point of him leaving at this age? Why did he need to leave? Why did he need to put himself through so much difficulty, this strenuous journey? And he couldn't even reach his manzil, his destination. He passed away en route. What was the point? So they were saying this in a mocking way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the efforts of those who do things just for his sake, who sacrifice in the way of Allah. Allah ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتُ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. This verse was revealed regarding Sayyidina Samura bin Jundub. Allah Ta'ala is telling us about the excellence of those who migrate in his way. And he states that whoever leaves his home, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, with the intention of migrating towards Allah and His Messenger. ثم يدركه الموت, and then he passes away on that journey. فقد وقع أجره على الله. His reward is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A verse was revealed regarding this Sahabi. His sacrifice hasn't been in vain. It wasn't useless. It's accepted in the court of Allah, and he will gain full reward as well. So here we find out about the reward, but just look at the sacrifice itself for a moment. At that age, other people were thinking, what is the point? You're weak. You can't travel. You're ill. But this Sahabi radiallahu anhu wanted to migrate towards the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these sacrifices were not solitary. There's so many different narrations, so many different accounts of the Sahaba sacrificing for the deen. If you look at the prophetic family, the Ahle Bayt al-Athar, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, Sayyiduna Urwa bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu narrates, he says that the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha, when she intended to migrate towards Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and she was on this path, on this journey, people began to pursue them. To the extent that Habbar bin Aswad, he and his followers, his acquaintances, he reached there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honorable daughter was on the ride. She was mounted upon the conveyance, the animal. He pushed, ma'adhullah, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She fell on the ground. And when she fell on the ground, there was a stone there. At that time, the blessed daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Zainab radiallahu anha, was expecting a child. And what happened when she fell down? Because of the impact of the fall, and as I mentioned, there was a stone there. Allahu Akbar Kabira, she fell ill, lost the child. And the rest of her life, for the remainder of her life, the narration states, she was affected by that fall. She was in pain, continuous pain. And in this state, she passed away as well. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the daughter of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest family. Look at the sacrifice. The Prophet Alayhi Salaam's own family members, ma'adhullah, they were tortured in this way. But we know about the Ahlul Bayt, Ali Murdwan anyway. Look at the story of Karbala. That's all about sacrifice from beginning till end. And the Ahlul Bayt, Ali Murdwan showed us. And if they didn't make sacrifices, we probably wouldn't have been Muslims today. It's their sacrifices that led to Islam spreading all over the globe. And they knew the importance of sacrifice. They sacrificed everything. Their own lives, their own children, their own family members, their own wealth, raha, comfort, ease, everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower countless mercies upon the daughter of the Prophet alayhi salam, Sayyidatuna Zainab radiallahu anha, and all other companions who sacrificed for the sake of Islam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to learn from their sacrifices and to practically demonstrate and implement sacrifices in our lives as well. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.